Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Let's stand for the reading of the Word this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be glad you came to church today. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're going to be glad you came to church today. Look back at the other one and say, this word's for you. There ain't going to be no elbow throwing that this is for somebody else, because I know this word is for every single person in this room. Amen. John chapter 6, I'll be reading out of the Amplified. I still feel like I'm about to jump out of the auditorium, but you guys can hear me. So can my kids. It says after this, John chapter 6 and verse 1, it says after this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd was following him because they had seen the signs, which he continually, look at your neighbor and say continually performed on those who were sick. And Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was approaching. Jesus looked up and saw that a large crowd was coming toward him. And he said to Philip, where will we buy bread for these people to eat? But he said this to test Philip, because he knew what he was about to do. You know that Jesus always is a step ahead of you. Philip answered, 200 denarii, 200 days' wages worth of bread is not enough for each one to receive even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now, we all know when he says now, it means business. Now, there was an abundance of grass. Oh, there's a grass. Here's 5 loaves, 2 fish. Let's have a picnic. So the men sat down. The men, look at your neighbor and say men. Men sat down was 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. The same also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they had eaten enough, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up, and they filled 12 large baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began saying, this is without a doubt the promised prophet who is to come into the world. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we continue in this walking in his footsteps, Lord, I pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, I pray for that man or that woman that is sitting here right now under the sound of my voice. I pray for the anointing to wreck their life. The anointing that breaks the yokes and bondages of sin. We invite your anointing to take over at this time. We invite your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Thank you that your word, God, doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what it's meant and it's sent to do. God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you died, you were buried, and on the third day you rose again. You showed resurrection power. And that stand again power is in the room today. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in this room today. So, Lord, we grab a hold of that power. We thank you for it. We give you glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. I want to point out the beautiful pregnant ladies on this side of the stage. Yinli, I want you to invite you to come over here and let that anointing rub off on you, all right? Sorry, Lucas. Just going to throw that out there for you. Bible says, be fruitful and multiply, and you're disobeying the commandment of the Lord, but whatever. All right? I can do that because I love him. All right. Y'all ready for the word today? Oh, man. I am excited. All right. We've been in this series called Walking in His Footsteps. Now, how many of y'all know life's a whole lot better and it's a whole lot easier when we hear from God? Life's a whole lot better when we walk in His footsteps. And the best example of all of this is the one where when somebody walks in the sand ahead of you, they pack the sand perfect so you can walk right in the footsteps of Him. And I'm telling you, the race has already been run. Amen? He's already defeated the enemy, and He's already set some things up. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be led by God even into a wilderness. Hear from Him. Be directed by Him. I'm telling you, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And I prayed over you. How many of y'all last week, you can lift your hand and say, you know what, this last week, as I walked in His footsteps, I believe in my family and in my life, I had a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch. Go ahead and lift your hands. I'm going to lift my hands and say, the Lord definitely bless me this week. It may have not been big to you, but every little bit, touch from the Lord is an amazing experience. And that what we see here in John chapter 6, and you can read about this in Matthew 14, in Mark 6 as well, and also in the book of Luke. There's four different Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, but I'm going to look at the story from the eyes of John. I always like to see what John has to say. But right out the gate, I want to tell you this before you see anything else. We serve the God of multiplication. I'm going to say it again. Only two of you got that. We serve the God of multiplication. You need to know before you leave here, if you don't get anything else out of this text this morning, I want you to know this. We serve the God of multiplication. It says in Deuteronomy this, that you will receive, when you begin to pour into the Lord, I tell you what, you will begin to reap into your harvest. The Bible says 1,000 times. I'm telling you, no grandma, no grandpa, no mama, no daddy, no best friend, and no government can give you anything at that increase in your life. Even Bitcoin, sometimes it gets up there, but I promise you, you can't reap a benefit of 1,000 times. Only God can do that in your life. And I'll tell you this, He is the God of addition as well, but I'm telling you, what He really likes to do is multiplication. Remember when Peter came to Him and he said, hey, when my brothers sin against me, should I forgive them 7 times? And He said, no, you should forgive them 70 times 7. Aren't you thankful you serve a God of multiplication even in the area of forgiveness in your life? I'm telling you, I need forgiveness. I'll need it tonight. I'll need it tomorrow. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace, His love that is everlasting for us. So you need to know that. And in this story is in a great example of that. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He'll calm the storm. He'll set you free, but He'll also bring multiplication into your life. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. Come on, you need to know that. The enemy subtracts and divides. God multiplies and adds. So it says here in John chapter 6 and verse 1, we're just going to go this together. It says, after this. Now you need to know the text beforehand. In the book of Mark, it talks about, in the book of Matthew and Mark, it talks about his brother, his family, John the Baptist, the one who baptized him in the Jordan River, that his head had been cut off. So he begins to make his way there. But before even this place of multiplication right here, we know what happened in the life of Jesus and in the story of Jesus. We know that He turned the water into wine at the wedding at Cana. We know that He healed the nobleman's son. We know that He drove out an evil spirit already. We know that He healed Peter's mother-in-law on purpose. Moving on. He told them to launch out at thy word, Peter. And Peter, because of thy word, he launched out in the deep and he had a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch. Y'all remember the story? I hope you do. Wake up this morning, all right? We know that he cleansed a man with leprosy. We know that he healed the centurion's servant. Actually, we know about that text in Matthew that was his boy. He healed the paralytic who was let down from the roof. Y'all remember the story? He had already healed the man with the withered hand. He had already raised a widow's son from the dead. He had calmed the storm. He had cast demons out and put them into a herd of pigs. Deviled ham. Come on. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. We know that he healed two blind men already. He had healed a mute man, and he had healed the man with an infirmity of 38 years. The man at the pool of Bethesda, that's definitely on track of walking in his footsteps. I can't wait to preach that sermon. But he had already done all of this. And how many of y'all know, so after this, meaning this is a big resume. You know what I love about Jesus? He didn't have to have social media. He didn't have a YouTube channel. He did not have business cards. He did not have to put people in an arm bar to come listen to him, all right, and coerce them with food, all right? But in this text, food does show up. Glory to God. Amen. Who's hungry already? I'll preach quick. So after this, you see already what has happened in Jesus' life. It's very important that you understand that, because still the disciples had a little bit of doubt in their heart on how this miracle was going to take place. So it goes on. It says, after this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's in a direction. He's a man on a mission. And there was a large crowd who was following him because they had seen the signs which he continually performed on those who were sick. This was a large crowd. This was a mob. And I want to tell you, they're not only directed or pulled in the direction of people being healed and set free, but I'm telling you, they were drawn to the anointing that was on the inside of the Son of God. Because think about this. I think about just in the book of John. I think about when the man named Nicodemus comes to his house. When Nicodemus came to his house and he said, you must be born again. And he's talking in a parable of a different kingdom than the kingdom of Galilee. He's talking from a whole different perspective that these people had never heard before. And even the man Nicodemus, when he came to him in the night, he said, you mean I have to crawl back into my mama's belly? I have to be born completely again? He said, no, you don't have to be born again like that. What I'm getting at is the words that Jesus was saying, they may have not understood, but they were drawn to the anointing that was on the inside of him. Are you guys getting this? No business card, no social media, no nothing. It was a mob of people, lots of people, and they were following. Everywhere that he went, they went with him. I'm telling you, you need to take Jesus everywhere that you go. It said follow him because they had seen. This word seen here, it's like they had saw. It's like theatrical. They were watching on the hillside all the signs. I talked about some of the signs, healing the paralytic, the woman with the issue of blood, the man that was brought down from the roof. They had seen all of that, which he had continually performed. You know, in the King James, it uses the word did, and it's the word poeo, and it's a word like poet. The Bible tells us this in John. This just hit me here. The book of John, the very last scripture of John, it says that Jesus, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were recorded one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So I just mentioned some of the things that have been told to us from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this word poeo, right away when I heard that, a poet is somebody who is creative. Jesus was walking around doing creative things. He was creating fingers where there were no fingers. He was creating eyeballs where there were no eyeballs. He was creating ears where there was no ears. I'm telling you, how many of y'all believe we serve a creative God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And if he did it then on the mountainside, he can do it for you today. Amen? He continually performed on those who were sick. Now, this is important that you understand this word sick. This is not only people that were bedridden, but this was people that were broke. These people were so poor, they couldn't even afford the R on the end. They were poor. You know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have ever been through some poor moments in your life? All right. Well, it's very important you understand that God not only wants to heal your body, but God wants to heal your finances as well. I'm going to say that again. He will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will say to the Lord that he is my refuge and fortress. He's the one I put my trust in too. So verse 3, it goes on. I'm going to get somewhere. Y'all follow with me. How many of y'all like this verse by verse here? I love the Bible. Verse 3, it says, and Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down there with his disciples. He was up on a mountainside. In fact, where you study where he is in the absolute middle of nowhere. You know, as I read that and saw that he was in an isolated place, I was reminded of John at the island of Patmos when God came to him in a dark place. I'm here to tell you that God will still come to you in the darkest of dark places where you feel isolated, that nobody cares, unvalued, nobody even knows that you exist. I'm telling you, the one who needs to show up will show up, and his name is El Shaddai. His name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Even in this isolated place, I'm telling you, the miracle that took place in this isolated, it's in the isolated moments where you were in a place all by yourself with no Wi-Fi, no Facebook, no kids, glory to God. It's in the isolated place that God wants to bless and break you. It's in the isolated place that he will take what you have and multiply you. I can't encourage you enough to get to an isolated place where it's just you and the Lord. It's you and the Lord and not a tablet to read from, the Bible. Get you one of these because you can't get all the notifications on it. Right here. All right? Not having a Bible is trying to eat spaghetti without a fork. You may get a lot on you, but you won't get a lot in you. Right? Let's get a lot in us. Y'all got quiet. Don't be throwing tomatoes right now. Now, it's very important you understand, and this is why I wanted to go with John chapter 6 here, because it says, now the Passover, verse 4, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was approaching. Where they are on this road and on the mountainside, history tells us is the Via Mata was the name of the road. And it's the way to the sea. So there's lots of people that are leaving from Capernaum. They're leaving from their homes and they're headed to Jerusalem and they are on this road Via Mata. And on the way, they encounter this Jesus. I'm telling you, that's why it's so important that you have a walk with Christ and you are intentional to see the things of God, because you can be on your way to Walmart and God can speak to you. You can be on your way to Dollar General and God can speak to you. You can be on your way to the ball game and God wants to speak to you. There's a reason that he put that in there. And then it goes to verse 5. It says, Jesus looked up and saw that a large crowd was coming toward him. And he said to Philip, where will we buy bread for these people to eat? You know, in Matthew and Mark's text said that these people... In the King James, it talks about these people that they had been following Jesus everywhere they were. They were tired. They were hungry. But they didn't want to miss out on one thing that God had in store for them. You know why you're here this morning? Because you don't want to miss out on one thing that God has in store for you. It reminds me of the text what Jesus told the enemy when he brought the stone and says, can't you command this stone to be turned into bread? He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this text proves it, hits it out of the park, that these people were not there for the physical, they were there for the spiritual. But they learned something. When I feed my spirit, I'm telling you, I will begin to feed my physical as well. Oh, this is so good. I hope you get this morning. You know what we do? We feed ourselves 3 square meals a day. Some of you, 4. Some of you, 2. Some of you, 5. Some of you lay in bed and eat. Amen. Not me. That would be bad. I can already see the glare. Stop looking at me. But you know what we do? We feed ourselves 3 square meals a day, but we feed our spirit a snack on Sunday morning. These people got it. These people understood it. And I'm telling you, if you understand this, You can have the same God of multiplication happen in your life. The same God of multiplication happen in your life. It says he saw that a large crowd. This is theatrical here. In fact, Matthew's text and Mark's text, he said he was moved with compassion when he saw them and saw that they were hungry for the word. And they were holding on to words that they may, like I said before, if it happened in Nicodemus, I'm sure it was with these people. What in the world is this guy talking about? But they didn't care. They were drawn to the anointing in the Son of God. So he says to Philip, where will you buy bread for these people to eat? Out here in the middle of nowhere. Now, Jesus already knows. It says in verse 6 here, it says, but he said this to test Philip because he knew that what he was about to do. This word test in the Greek, it means a test designed to reveal a deficiency. How many times have we been just like Philip here? Philip's been with him when he turned the water into wine. Philip was with him when he, you know, even at, he was there when he calmed the storm. He was there when he healed people's body. He was healed when he cast the demons out of the man Legion and took them into the pigs and they went off the cliff. Philip was there. Don't you think Philip would be at a place that he believed? But my question to you this morning is, how many times do we forget what Jesus has done for us? How many times do we forget that he was with us? How many of y'all believe he was with you in 2020? How many of y'all believe he was with you in 2015? He was with you. If you're here today, that means God was with you. In 2010, God was with you. I can tell you of story after story, but still in my own life, there is times where I think, how in the world is God going to get me out of this isolated mess that I've got myself into? But I'm here to tell you, if he did it then, he will do it again. I'll say it again. If he did it then, he will do it again. Somebody's going to get it this morning. If he did it then, come on, he will do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, if he was there for this country in 1776, I have to believe with the praying church and people that are standing on the word of God that he is going to turn this nation around. Take those things that aren't as though they were. In Jesus' name, I'm going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Amen. If he did it then, he will do it again. The God of multiplication. Not the God that divides and subtracts, but he is the God of multiplication right here in the middle of nowhere. So this was a test. I'm telling you, has there been times that God has tested you? Oh, stretch my faith. I'm talking gene ripping faith. Woo! Stretch. Philip answered, see, Jesus is talking in the spiritual realm. He's still looking in the natural realm. That should paint a picture to you this morning. How many times do we look in the natural? Not to say that we don't need to see things in the natural and not use wisdom, but God is on a whole nother level. If he did it then, he will do it again. Philip answered, 200 denarii, so you would get one denarii per day. And he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for each one to receive even just a little. How many of y'all know at the end of the text said that they ate enough to be filled, each and every one of them? So verse 8 here, and you know, I just want to point this out. I just, surround yourself. Right here in verse 8, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, he points something out that there's a boy. But can I remind you this morning, surround yourself with people that will add to your life. See, surround yourself with people that will tell you, you know what, you have enough for this. Not people who say, no, that's not enough. Surround yourself with people, whether or not you get likes on Facebook, you know you will rise and you fall to the level of your friendships. I've said this so many times before, but if you picture your friends in an orange jumpsuit with a tray eating a cold banana and a cold weenie, I promise you, go ahead and get fitted for your orange jumpsuit because you're about to go to the big house with them. You rise and you fall to the level of your friends. Philip saw it in the natural, but at least Andrew, Simon Peter, at least he's a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And he comes and he says, there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many? There's still a little bit of doubt in his mind. Now, I want to point something out, and I want to preach for a second from this particular text right here. There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people? The little boy in the text here in the Greek, you begin to study this out. This little boy here was not much older than 7 years old. So this is a little boy. Now, how many of y'all grew up in that Sunday school where you saw the picture of the 5 loaves and 2 fish? And it shows this teenage boy, and he has like 2 barracudas in there. You know what I'm talking about? Like carp, like 2 huge carp and 5 loaves. You know, he's like walking around with Jesus. Where are we going? And he didn't even have good Jerusalem cruiser shoes on. You know what I'm saying? But this boy's like 7 years old. And you study it out, 5 loaves and 2 fish, the loaves were like the size of a cracker. And the fish were like the size of a sardine. You know what this was? This was a snack that his mama fixed. I was talking to Anson last night. He was in the bathroom. He was getting ready. And I was telling him about this story. And he said, did he have a lunch pail? Did his mom send it to him in a lunch pail? Said, yeah, I'm sure it was, you know, like SpongeBob or Spider-Man or something like that. That's what pointed out to all the disciples. I mean, it was probably one of those old tin can ones, you know, where the reflection of the sun was shining off of it. But Jesus, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But the thing that pointed out to me right away when I read this, the boy wasn't even a part of the count of people. Somebody's going to get this morning. It said 5,000 men. It's, in fact, people could say that it was 5,000 men and women, but most scholars say that it was just men. So if 5,000 men, this means that the boy wasn't even at a place where he could be counted. I believe by the Spirit of God, there's people in this room. You may not think that you're valued, but God wanted me to tell you, God's going to use you to be the miracle in your family. You might be the youngest one. My mama treated my oldest and my middle one, brother and sister, a whole lot better than they treated me. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't mean that there is a miracle working. God will bless as you begin to thank God for the place where you are today. I'm telling you, God will use you to be the miracle. I think about some of y'all's getting this, some of you's not. How many of y'all have ever been at a place where you did not feel valued? You didn't feel like you measured up. You weren't a part of the count. I think about a boy named David who they looked over 7 brothers and he said, well, I have the youngest one out in the field. It's the 8th one. He's just, you know, a ruddy looking, cracking puberty voice teenager. But you know what? That's the one that God used to turn the nation of Israel around. I think about Joseph. I think about him. He'd been thrown inside the pit. His brothers, 10 brothers turned their back on him. 10 people in his life of influence that he loved turned his back and they sent him to Potiphar's house. And from Potiphar's house, he wasn't valued there. And then he was in the prison and he promoted all the way up to Pharaoh's. But I'm here to tell you, God will use the one that the world has washed their hands of, that the world has said there's no way he's not a part of the count, only these people of high-ranking society. God uses those people to turn things around. Come on, some of you's getting this in your spirit this morning. He wasn't a part of the count. He even Jesus wasn't valued in his own hometown. I'm just here to tell you, even at a place of rejection, if you put what you have now, you may not think that it's enough, but if you put it in the hands of Jesus, he will begin to multiply it. And I'm telling you, miracles will begin to happen, but you've got to be obedient and put it in his hand. How many of y'all getting something out of the word this morning already? Then he said, in verse 10, he said, have the people sit down. Now, you read in Matthew's text, it says that he had them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. Now, how many of y'all know with 5,000 people, you ain't just going to yell on the mountainside from a microphone and said, hey, y'all get in groups of 50 and 100. How many of y'all know this took some time? The miracle of multiplication in your life, I'm just going to here to tell you right now, you stay faithful to the Lord, but it's going to take some time. And so they began to sit down and said there was an abundance of grass, so the men sat down as 5,000 in number. 5,000. So if there was women with them, if they were all married, that'd be 10,000 with kids. I mean, there is rough estimates of people that think that there was 40,000 people here on the side of the mountain. You know what that tells me? God will do a miracle even in a big group of people. Like, I don't know how many people's in America, but God is still the God of revival that can change some things around, turn some things around. Amen? I'm glad that there's four of you that's believing God for America right now. Come on, how many of y'all believe God can still turn some things around in America today? Amen? So it goes on. He said, have the people sit down, 5,000 number, verse 11. Oh, get ready. Then Jesus took the loaves. I'm telling you, the miracle won't happen until you put it in his hand. He took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them, those who were seated, and the same also with the fish, as much as they wanted. Look at this right here. When it says he had given thanks, that means this. He took the two little fish, not the carp, but the two sardines and the five crackers. And the Greek talks about that there was a stream of thankfulness that came out of his mouth. A stream of thankfulness. You know what he did? God, I thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the author, and the finisher of our faith. I thank you, God, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. I thank you that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I may be at a place where I feel like there's not enough right now, but I thank you that you supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't have near enough for all of this, but I give you thanks that you are El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. I thank you that you're Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Come on, somebody's going to get it this morning. I thank you, God, that you were with me back then and you're with me today. You were with me when I calmed the storm and you're with me in this moment right now. You are with me when the leper began to be healed, whole, and set free, and you are with me in this moment right now. Come on, I'm trying to give you a picture that there may be times where you don't have enough, but if you just begin to be thankful with what God has already given you, multiplication will begin to happen. He said he gave thanks. Mark talks about he blessed it and then he broke it. Matthew talked about he blessed and then he broke it. I'm trying to paint a picture to you. Until you can begin to be grateful and thankful with what God has already given you, what makes you think the God of addition and multiplication is going to be brought into your life? Teenagers, listen to me. Until you can begin to be grateful with the hoopty that you drive, clean the hoopty. A hoopty's like a junker, Dave Ramsey car. Come on. I'm still losing them with that. Well, the car you guys drive, all right? Until you can begin to be thankful for that. Be thankful for that car. Vacuum that car. Clean the dash on that car. Be thankful for that. I'm telling you, what makes you think you're going to have a nicer one? I don't know about you. I don't want to give you a nicer one if you're just going to junk up that one as well. Amen. If you don't begin to be thankful with the job you have right now, hello, bosses ought to be sending me an offering right now. Amen. Until you begin to be thankful. Well, I don't like to do that. You know what I did the first day with Pastor Eddie? When I was apprenticing shoeing horses with him, I pulled up to his house, couldn't wait there. He said, you ready? I said, yeah. He said, go mow my yard. What if I'd have said no? I'm telling you, I wouldn't have the blessing that I have on me today of multiplication and addition. If you don't begin to be thankful with the marriage that God has given you today, I'm telling you, your heart will turn around. He said he blessed it and he broke it. And I'm here to tell you, you may feel like you're at a place where there is a breaking in you. I'm telling you, there is a blessing in the breaking. There may be some people that have left you. Just tell them, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Amen. Adios and vaya con Dios. Bye-bye. You know why? Because I'm telling you, in that breaking, there is a blessing. That could have been the person that was bringing subtraction and division in your life. When we serve the God of addition and multiplication. Come on, who's getting something out of the Word this morning? The spirit of frozen may need to come over you and say, let it go. Come on. Let it go. Say it with me. Let it go. Put it in the hands of God, because the Bible says he took the loaves. But I'm telling you, he couldn't take them unless the boy released them. Put them in the hands of the Father. He said he gave thanks and he distributed. And so what I see is this, is he had them in his hands, and as he began to thank God, thank you, I know God, this is not enough, but you're El Shaddai, you're the God of more than enough. And as he just began to thank God, I'm telling you, it just began to multiply in his hands. Multiplication. I can testify and tell you this, that as I've been thankful, even me in shoeing horses, great example of that. If I treated the dink, which is, cowboys, you know what I'm talking about, the, you know, that's in the backyard in Chicken Dookie, you know, on a terrible side of town, if I would have treated that horse different than the one inside of a nice barn, I promise you, I wouldn't be at the place that I am today. You've got to be thankful with what God has given you now. Multiplication won't come until you be thankful. Parents, can I get an amen for the teenagers? Amen. I'm telling you, if you get revelation of this morning, it's the little things. I'm telling you, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Goes on to verse 12. It says, when they had eaten enough, when they were filled, God of multiplication right there. That enough means they were filled. That means that they were full. See, they were concerned about feeding their spirit. And I'm telling you, a healing took place in their body. Oh, get that. He said to his disciples, gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be lost. You know what I love about this text? And John, if you want to go ahead and come and play. What I love about this, he said, gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be lost. He not only gave them enough for the miracle then, he was giving them a miracle for down the road. Meaning, how many of y'all know you may be going through some things right now? This may be new to you, but we have an enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He seeks whom he may devour. He's always seeking. There is always, I'm telling you, there's always going to be a storm ahead of us. But what I love about this text is he shows up in the middle of this storm, performs a miracle, but he gives them enough left over to say, you know what? He was there on the mountain. Now he's going to be here. In Mark, it goes on to talk about how he walked on water. Oh, I'm telling you, you can go, the God of addition, the God of multiplication will give you enough left over for the next area or stage in your life of whatever you're going through to walk on water. Come on. The enemy wants you to sink. But you got enough from the mountainside. You got enough from that place. Not only did you get filled then, but God wants to fill you chapters down the road. God only does God want to fill you today in 2021. God wants to fill you in 2022. God wants to fill you in 2023. But I'm telling you, you've still got to put it into His hand. And the God of addition, the God of multiplication, God wants to do a big enough miracle in you that you have enough left over for the next one. On to the next one. I'm telling you, a miracle can take place. Then it goes on to verse 13. It says, so they gathered them up, and they filled 12 large baskets. You study this in the Greek. These baskets were as big as a large man. That's a lot of leftovers. And you know, the time around is always better than the first. I know when Pastor Brandy fixes meatloaf. Fixing meatloaf today? Will you? I sense the anointing on that. That was the Spirit of God, Brandy. Did y'all feel that? But I'm telling you, how many of y'all know that dish? Oh, like peach pudding. Oh, peach pudding. Y'all had peach pudding? Come on, I'm still preaching right here, but let's just take a moment. Let's take a moment. You ever had peach pudding? I'm telling you, peach pudding, it's like banana pudding, but so much better. Fresh peaches, it's got the wafers in there, but the day you fix it, it's good. How many of y'all know when it sits in the fridge? Oh, we got the banana pudding right here on the front row. How many of you know when it sits in the fridge, Pastor Robert? And all of that gets connected. You know what I'm talking about? Like where they just join juices together. It's so much better on the third and the fourth day. Come on, how many of y'all know we serve a God that He will not only hit you at the moment of where you are, but down the road you can pick it back up again and begin to be thankful? Come on, stand to your feet if you're thankful this morning. Oh, it was good when I first got it, but I'm telling you, it gets better and better. You know what I found out in my walk with Christ? It gets better and better. From faith to faith, glory to glory, faith to faith, glory to glory. I'm telling you, it'll get much better. But here's the best part, what the Lord showed me. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they began saying, the people, the disciples, this is without a doubt the promised prophet who is to come into the world. Now, you know the disciples were blessed. How was He going to pull the cat out of the hat? Can I even say that? How's He going to pull the rabbit out of the hat in this particular situation? Philip didn't know. Andrew, he kind of had an idea. But I'm here to tell you, all the people were blessed, but think about the little boy. Come on. Just think about the little boy. How do you think the little boy felt after he had surrendered his lunch to Jesus? Come on, I'm here to tell you, those that serve inside the body of Christ, when you surrendered your gift to teach children's church, when you surrendered your gift to play up here on the stage, when you surrendered your gift to keep people safe, when you surrendered your gift to be nice and the hospitality that you give, I'm here to tell you the God of multiplication will come into your life. But you've got to put it into His hands. I'm telling you, the boy, think about how he felt. All I had was something so small. How many times do we think to ourselves, I have something so small, it's not even worth bringing up? I'm here to tell you, it's the small things that'll touch a multitude of people. It's the small things in your life that will bring victory. It's the little things. It's the little areas. But you've got to put it into His hands. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Oh, it seems so small. It seems so little. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Think about it. 5 crackers, saltines. Two sardines. It's just a snack. But I'm telling you, He fed a mountainside of people that were filled. He was thankful. Thanksgiving.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website at renovlifechurch.org or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.